the symbolism. Before we do, we just want to read you, it's very short. It's called the Gayatri. It's from the Rig Veda, which is an ancient Sanskrit work. And it's about the true sun. So here's the quote. That which giveth sustenance to the universe and to ourselves, from which all doth proceed, unto which all must return, that thou art. In the golden vase of thine earthly body, may the pure light of the spiritual sun shine forth, that thou mayest know the truth and do thy whole duty on thy journey back to the sacred seat. So every December at the turn of the cycle, here at the lodge, we talk about cycles. So today, of course, we're talking about Christmas in particular. And next Sunday's class, which we didn't mention yet, is New Year, New Cycle. Now there's many symbols of Christmas, and they're universal symbols. Christmas itself, it's interesting that it was actually a movable feast up until around 345 of the Common Era. And that's when the Pope wanted to fix the day. And what he did, what they did, what they decided to do was it was actually a pagan feast going on called Vernalia. And so it was a festival of light. And so the idea was that while the pagans were celebrating their profane mysteries, the Christians would celebrate, their truth. I'll say their truth. And it is to them. And of course, the symbols and meanings of Christmas are wonderful, whether that be Christian or any other faith whatsoever. So Santa Claus didn't come along. He's a symbol, of course. Jolly Saint Nick, he didn't come along until, he actually wasn't adopted for many years. But the legend of Santa Claus goes back to a 4th century in Asia Minor, which would now be Turkey, or I think they're pronouncing it Turkey now as the new pronunciation, probably the old pronunciation, but that's what we're hearing now. That so anyway, Santa Claus comes from that time. Now the holly is, of course, it's green and red. And it has to do with the green has to do with nature and matter, and red is the fire of the spirit. Now the candle is a pyramid, and we can look at that as our high three or high. We can look at it as the Christians look at it as their Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Now in philosophy, we talk about it as being spirit, spiritual soul, and mind. That's the English for Atma, Buddhi, Manas, which is the Sanskrit. So it's the spirit, a pure, unalived spirit, spiritual soul, which is the highest part of our nature, and mind, because we are mind beings. And we're trying to lift ourselves up, or that's the goal. So the candle, the flame is considered a pyramid, and you can see the red and the yellow in the flame. So the tallow is considered the animal substance because we're working in these animal bodies to try to raise the self by the self. So the wick is and substance with the tallow. The flame consumes the wick through the tallow, and this transmutes all. This is like a transmutational process that goes on. Christmas is sacred to Jesus' birth, of course, but as we said, it was actually celebrated on March 25th for the first 3 or 4 centuries of the Christian era. Now, the tree, we bring it in, or many people do, and this actually goes back to a Nordic practice of bringing in nature, and the evergreen, of course, is always green. So that's a symbol of eternal life, as it were. Now the Yule, the Yule log is, well, the Yule is means wheel or sun, and the Yule log is perpetual fire, the rebirth of the sun. Now mistletoe is another symbol. It's interesting. It's a mystic plant. It's actually a parasite. It grows on trees, and it never touches the earth, but it does have medicinal practices as well. We have read. We're not really versed in it, and we're not, of course, recommending anything. But apparently, mistletoe has been used medicinally. So the mistletoe takes its nourishment from the tree. The virgin birth is Virgo rising in the east. And now, many of us are familiar with the sign of the cross, which is used in many Christian churches. But there's also the sign of there's another sign of the cross, which is first to put the hand to the forehead and to thee I belong, and then left shoulder justice, right shoulder mercy, and the two hands clasped together throughout the coming cycles. So it's to thee belong justice and mercy throughout the cycles, which is another wonderful way that one can bless oneself if one so desires. So the Norse had it's spelled YGGRASIL. Correct me if we're wrong, but we'll pronounce it Yggdrasil. That's the world ash tree, and it has three roots: one to the underworld, to the frost giants, and to Asgard, home of the gods. The Babylonians had a tree of life with three roots as well: to the underworld, to the earth, and to heaven. The mother of Tammuz, which was the Egyptian savior of the world. India also had a world tree with three roots and three qualities. The ancient Romans, Saturnalia, they trimmed it with candles and the image of the sun god at the top. I think we misspoke earlier. And we said Brunalia. We think it's actually Saturnalia. So the Druids also lighted candles on tree branches with gilded apples. And holly was used in ancient Saxon times along with ivy and bay to decorate during the winter solstice. Of course, we mentioned the pyramid before. So the lighted candle is the divine spark, and it leads the mystics to a second birth, as it were. So now the gifts to the Magi, the gifts of the Magi. Gold represented the purest of metals, with a permanent luster and color throughout all conditions, and that is a symbol of divine virtues. Incense, the mysteries began with the lighting of incense, reference to the lighting up of the higher mind, but also carrier of fire impregnated with fragrance and sent out into space. It represents the act of devotion and offering, which leads to great sacrifice. It's a symbol of the heart. And myrrh is a plant that has properties of healing, preserving, cleansing, the creative elements. It's a symbol of powers developed by the growth of the soul, physically, mentally, and spiritually. So the real Christmas can come to us in our hearts. We can realize that there has arrived once more the season we can rise with. If we make up our minds to do it, we can follow the path of our great predecessors, the great saviors of the world, the great saviors of all times. So we're going to conclude now. We really only we touched on, we think, the most important ones, but certainly there are many more that we just don't have time for. So at this time, we'll have the meaning described.
So we've just heard about all the symbols of Christmas, well, some of them. And if one realizes it, it all has to do with the sun, with light. And we did just want to read a quote that we found. So 12:25 is the hidden birth time of all nature. The seed stirring without which there could be no Easter or spring. Let us not forget the inner relationship of man and nature. We too are suns, reflecting the true sun, the self. And as we turn on our course by ever acting for the self, so do we come closer to the light, which is our source. Only so do we, like Jesus, become illuminated ones, Christ's, for younger brothers in ages to come. So, one of the things that we did want to explain is that, as was said, with the announcements, that this time of the year, we as a lodge, we always study cycles in December, because cycles are a major part of our not only a human life, but the lower kingdoms, cosmically, everything is in cycles. So why do we need to study Christmas then? How is Christmas representative of cycles? Well, for one thing, it is a repetition of the sun gods. They have cycled through our lives, for eons. And also, we can look at cycles for the human kingdom as well as the lower kingdoms. It's a series of rebirths. With karma and reincarnation, we die and then we reincarnate. And it's just a continuous cycle. The inner nature of the rising cycle affects the entire globe and all the beings on it. And we have to continue to understand that the sun that we see is a physical sun. It's not the spiritual sun, which it is said it is behind the physical one. The true sun shines down within us as well. So, coming up in a few days, Christmas will be experienced in another cycle once again every year. And it always shows up around the winter solstice. All the sun gods were believed to have been born around this time to honor the return of the sun and making the darkness turn towards the light. So yesterday is considered to be the longest night of the year, and we will notice over the course of the next few months that this time that the sun is out will be longer. The power of the sun also begins to increase. So Christmas is the time when the sun is turning onto its northward course in the northern hemisphere. But north or south, the spiritual sun will emotionally affect all. So Christmas is a universally observed holiday, not only regarding the birth of Jesus, but also what has been looked at as being a pagan one, which was already explained in the symbol portion of this panel. So when we're looking at the solstice, though, the solstice is this, as we said, the sun at its lowest ebb. And we are looking for a rejuvenation of life, of energy. And all the ancients celebrated their sun gods on 1225. The celestial star sign of the Virgin and Child was in existence thousands of years before the birth of Jesus. They thought that the sun was a life giver, the power of growth in life. And they understood it to be the symbol of the true sun, the one light, the self. So because it comes around the time of the solstice, this is marking the lowest, as we said, of the sun's light. And the power of the sun begins to increase. But the increasing strength of the sun is also an uplift in the spiritual, mental, and moral nature of man. Our energy is increased as well as we need to use all these changes in order to help others. We will have that energy from, we all realize that when the sun disappears, the light disappears so late in the day, well, so early in the day. It's like we just want to go inside, turn the TV on and or whatever, and just kind of veg. But once the sun starts getting stronger and its light become, no, we notice that it is the light is earlier in the day. People come out, they walk around, they go to parks, they take walks, they smile at each other. So there's a definite difference from now on until we go through and try to absorb all the energy that is beginning to express itself. So from now until the spring equinox, the rising tide of the sun's energy will enable us to perform new physical and mental wishes. And this is when the whole idea of making resolutions comes from, because this is the time of year where this energy is strong and we can make more, we can think of how we want to change. So that's one reason why the resolutions are at this time of the year. So the earth passes through its phases and man with it. And as a day can be colored, so can a year. We did just want to mention, in regards to the sun gods, this is rather interesting. They're all born in the winter solstice, all saw the light of day in a cave, all were born of virgin mothers. And they're all historical. And it says that the localities made to correspond with psychic and astronomical events. And just a few of them we can look at as Isis, Bacchus, Osiris, Ra, and they're all over the world. And this was just, we just wanted to mention a few. But it's a very interesting study to look at the sun gods. So Christmas can come into our hearts. And it doesn't have to be a strictly material experience. And as we said, it's like this is the time of year where things get more energized, and we need to look at that and use it, make up our minds to use it. And, all the saviors of the world used it. They were able to pursue their goals of helping others at this time of the year because the energy is strong. So, when Christmas being a time for giving and receiving, there is a giving that is not of things. There is a giving of the heart itself. There is the giving of service, of love, of brotherhood, every thought that makes for good. A giving open to all, however poor our possessions may be. And so as we said, between Christmas and Easter, when the life of the earth is young, the inner life can rejuvenate and grow, and ideas take hold. And Christmas is a season of birth and growth. It is the season of rebirth of the spiritual nature. And we did want to end with an interesting quote that we found as well. It is the feeling and the thought in our hearts which reach people and stir their hearts to a better perception, a better feeling, a wider and stronger action. For all our hearts are based in the same one life. We draw all our powers and forces from the one life. The real Christmas means something to the real man, and it applies to the whole of man's nature. Let us take advantage of the resurgence of spiritual, mental, and moral force that comes with the Christmas time. So we'll take any questions or comments.
Yes, SL.
Of course, Christmas is celebrated around the world by Christians. It's a joyous holiday, commemorating the birth of their Savior. But the sacredness of it, the name itself, comes from the word Christ Mass. And a mass in Christianity is a sacrament. It's a ceremony where one unites themselves with that Christ, that principle, and that idea of uniting oneself with the higher at this time of year is found in all traditions. We see it in the Bhagavad Gita, we see it among the Gnostics. So even that sacredness of using this time of year to rededicate ourselves to the highest within nature and within ourselves is universal.
Yes, definitely. And there's no more universal symbol than the sun. There's no more important symbol. And behind the sun, we are told that the sun is like a vase that hides the central spiritual sun, that potency and power, which we say is behind all life, both spiritual and physical. And so with deity, it's deity. The sun itself, the physical sun, is not worshipped, but that the deity that's behind it is. And it's a universal symbol. And of course this is, and it's not, as was said, it's not strictly limited to the Christians, and it far, far antedates Christianity. It's back before recorded history. And the real Christmas means something to the real man, and it applies to our whole nature. So there's a resurgence of spiritual, mental, and moral force. And that's what they say, let the heavens and the angels sing, because it is a time for renewal and rejoicing.
Michael.
Yes, MDW.
So what you're really saying to us here this morning is that we're being reminded by nature and by the world, by the universe, that we are beings of light. Again, we are that idea of light keeps on coming into our equation, and we think that this time of year is an opportunity, as you say, to really enhance our life in a more spiritual and meaningful way. And it is a reminder. Nature is reminding us again who we are.
Yes, it's a psycho-spiritual renewal. It renews our psyche, it renews our bodies as well. And all of nature, they say, thrills that the seeds start to germinate now. We don't see it happening. We don't see it happening until the spring. But all underground, the seeds, the crops, they're beginning their process. It's a death and a resurrection for them as well. And of course, it's exemplified at Easter time, which is another sacred cycle as well, which is the fruition of this 3 months. Did you have a follow-up or not? Okay.
So the one thing that's interesting with this idea of the sun is that the sun gives energy, and all life needs this energy. Plants, animals, humans, we all need the energy. And it is something that we can use, especially when it begins to get stronger at this time of the year. What is one of the things that is obvious at this time of the year is how people seem to be more friendly, more giving. And then once this time of the year is over, people just kind of go back to the way things were. And it's important to try and inwardly, spiritually, to keep that momentum of how we can be. We know how we can be. This time of the year shows us how we can be compassionate and giving to others. So if we can keep that idea, that sense of love all year round, things would definitely improve, we think, around the world.
Yes, and DW.
The Christians see Christmas as a unique holiday. That is the birth of their sun god. But you mentioned there are many, many, many more that all great, so we happen to look up, and there are like Horus, Krishna, Dionysus, Mithra, Adonis, Hercules, Buddha, Hermes, Prometheus are a few that they have listed. So that this tradition has been going on for ages, and it is not unique to any one religion.
And if one would look at where these sun gods are from, I mean, we're looking at Phoenicia, Greece, Babylon, Persia, Italy, Scandinavia, Yucatan, Mexico. They're worldwide, and we found that, very interesting that there wasn't just a couple sun gods. There's many of them, and they're from around the world and Egypt as well. So, and we think that that's Isis is one of the sun gods, and it's interesting that HPB named one of her major writings, Isis Unveiled. So we just thought that that was interesting.
Yes, MDW.
Well, it's interesting. We say sun gods, but what did these gods bring? They brought the light of knowledge. Krishna. Buddha. Of great compassion. They brought the light. So I guess we are the same sun gods. We just don't know it yet, or have been able to apply it.
Right. There's a definite cycle and a series when these great teachers have incarnated, but none of them have said, "Follow me." They just come to remind people of the teachings. They don't try to cultivate a following, but what happens is after a great teacher leaves the scene, there's kind of a void, and then those that were taught do their best to codify things, and then over time things kind of get lost in translation, as it were, because none of these great teachers ever wrote anything. Their teachings were all orally transmitted, but fortunately, we have this in writing now, which wasn't always possible there, but the symbols, they're glyphs. They're meant to have inner meaning that is, it's significant for each and every one of us. Now, as far as the lighting up, we think this will be talked about next Sunday, but we just want to briefly mention that in a couple of weeks, there's the day of Mercury, which is Hermes and Buddha, the giver of wisdom. It's 2 weeks after the winter solstice when the great host of shining monads the solar petries entered, and there was an incarnation of the Dianes from the true sun. So we are mind beings, and the solar petries lit up our minds. The lunar petries are is our bodies, but we just want, yes, MDW.
So, what is that true sun? Is that what is theosophy says? Is that which has is eternal, boundless, immutable, and omnipresent? That we cannot define it. It is, it's on. We can the finite can't understand the infinite.
Right, it's deity. It's deity, and we are a part of it. It is within us. We are trying to draw it out. The word education comes from educare, which means to draw out. So all of these ideas were impressed on us, and they're in the astral. They're in the highest part of the astral, which is the Akashic records, and we've been instructed by the divine initiates. So what happens though, we've kind of lost our way, gotten involved in all the materialism and the selfishness which goes along with that. So we've lost our way. And these teachers come from time to time. There will be teachers in the future too, when there's a rise of vice and there's, in a sense, these ideas are lost. So there's hope. There's hope. And we can, it's said that we can help draw these great teachers back. And they're always there working behind the scenes. But they can't incarnate at this time because really it's the whole atmosphere is so polluted with selfishness and materialism, that they can influence us and they can influence some of the minor currents, but they can't just appear and like magic make everything go away because we have what we've inherited is due to our karma of reaction, action and reaction through the ages. So we have to clean, they're there to help. But we need to do the heavy lifting ourselves.
And one thing that we need to understand is that when we talk about the spiritual sun, it also is referencing the sun that is the light that is in us. It was mentioned about the solar petries have lit up the mind of man. Well, that is where we also get that spiritual sunlight. And if we continue to be searching spiritually, then that will, invigorate us as well. As long as we can focus on our higher nature, that spiritual sun will come through. That we say that we want to make our minds porous to the dictates of the soul. And this is one of the things that we need to do is to focus on high spiritual ideas. And that way, that soul light, that solar light, the true solar light will come through and invigorate and enlighten us. And one of the things that,
JCS.
she's shaking her head. No. One of the things that's interesting is when we look at all the symbols of Christmas, you often wonder, it's like, we've got greens, we've got the The mistletoe, the evergreen, we've got wreaths, we have colorful things, we decorate the trees, we decorate our houses, and you wonder sometimes where did all of that come from? Where did all those ideas? And somewhere along the line, we think that people have been encouraged to celebrate what the meaning of this year, of this time of year can be. And by decorating the trees, the trees, as was said, they're shaped like a triangle, which is, is like the physical form. And then, like the candle, which has the flame, we decorate the trees with everything, all these different colors, like, red and silver and gold, and everything is beautiful. And even the we read somewhere that even the wrapping of a gift is even a symbol, because people get ribbons and different color paper, and it just goes along. So it's just a fascinating thing to look at what happens at this time of the year that we're celebrating, and most people don't know what they're doing.
Was there a hand? Yes, JCS.
Well, segueing off the notion of the symbols, with the contrast of white light moving through the prism of physicality and becoming an array of color. That's one great line of thinking. But you mentioned something in the first presentation about incense as a symbol. And over the past several years, I've puzzled as a student over Deepak Chopra's use of the word aroma. And I've seen the word aroma in a variety of different manifestations of Indian culture, referring to the aroma, the reminiscence of past ancestry, of past lives, the aroma left from learning. When you were talking about incense, you were using incense as a symbol of not air, but heart, I believe.
Yes, there's a heart quality involved. So the lighting of the incense refers to the lighting up of the higher mind. But it's the heart quality which actually dictates to the mind more so than the mind to the heart. There are many more messages, I guess, well, impulses that go from the heart to the mind, to the mind to the heart, but the heart is very much involved. So the lighting of incense refers to the lighting up of the higher mind. It's also a carrier of fire impregnated with the fragrance sent out into space. It's a symbol of devotion and offering leading to the great sacrifice, which is the symbol of the heart. And we should also mention that our lower selves, of course, all of nature, and that includes our four lower vehicles, because we are composed of the stuff of the earth. And so we have the mineral, the vegetable, and the animal, and the elemental kingdom too, which we don't talk too much about, but that, of course, it comes into play as well. So this time of year, all of our nature is renewed, as it were. And we need these vehicles not only to raise up ourself, but to raise up all of nature. So, I mean, we are composed, and there's intelligence in all the kingdoms, and they're all necessary for our nurturing and our, well, our when we just think about what are our houses made of. They're made up of stone and wood and all the things of nature that give us shelter, and they're always giving unselfishly. Now, the mineral kingdom has intelligence. If we take two stones and spark them together, and we hit them together, we see sparks fly. And that is the fire that is latent in them, the fire of spirit. We see in the vegetable kingdom, we see the beginning of sensation and feeling. And you know, that like the sunflower moves toward the sun, it too is very much affected by the sun. And of course, in the animal kingdom, we have much higher intelligence and mobility, and we have consciousness, but we don't have this self-reflective consciousness. It's more like a group consciousness, and it's a group instinct, and their instincts are very highly developed. Our instincts were once more highly developed, but by misuse, we still have instincts, of course, but we're less in tune with nature than we once were, because, well, once it was absolutely necessary. We had to know what was poisonous and what was not, what was helpful and what was not. Otherwise, we, you know, if we ate something poisonous, it's goodbye. Was there another hand up? Did we see? SL?
Yes, so of course, these three gifts were the gifts of the three wise men. And we think it was already alluded that gold referred to our spirit and myrrh to the healing properties of the body. But the incense specifically that was given was frankincense.
Right.
And frankincense has medicinal properties, which are even used now in today's hospitals because their effect on purifying the mind.
Oh, my.
For mental clarity, help with concentration and focus. So we can see how that relates to the purification of the mind, the awakening of the higher mind and the heart qualities. And it completes the trinity then of spirit, mind, and body, or spirit, soul, and body.
Yes. So what, okay, go ahead, SL.
One image that we've always associated with Christmas was the image of the babe in the manger. And we remember singing carols about the ox and the lamb keeping time and the angels singing and the miracles that were occurring. And so we have this favorite, one of our favorite passages from the Voice of the Silence, which much more predates Christianity. And it goes right like this. Behold the mellow light that floods the eastern sky. In signs of praise, both heaven and earth unite. And from the fourfold manifested powers, a chant of love ariseth, both from the flaming fire and flowing water, and from sweet-smelling earth and rushing wind. Hark, from the deep, unfathomable vortex of that golden light in which the victor bathes, all nature's wordless voice in thousand tones ariseth to proclaim, joy unto ye, O men of Mialba, a pilgrim hath returneth back from the other shore, a new Arhan is born. Very much in keeping with the symbolism and meaning of Christmas as it's even celebrated today.
Right, and there's you know, there will be future teachers to come along, and the whole purpose of evolution is that we are perfectible. We are perfectible beings. that we're not poor, miserable sinners. And that's the sad part, is that if everything is focused on one unique being as a savior to us all, and that all we have to do is believe and that we are saved. Well, it says in the Bible, faith without works are dead. So that's quite the contradiction right there. And, it's going to be eons in the future, but the promise is that we can all be saviors, that we can not only save ourselves, but that we can save others as well, and be a vehicle, not personally save others, but to help and teach others. And that's what these saviors have done. They help and teach us and provide an impulse. And as each one retires from the scene, they're still working behind the scenes. So as time goes on, there's greater and greater beings and spiritual impulses. And we are also told that we can draw back ones that have left this earthly sphere as well. We think it's the Gyanis, that they can return as well.
And we're told that we are all gods in the making. And when we look at the idea of karma reincarnation, it's looked at as being hopeful, the doctrine of hope, because we may not have the best or most comfortable life now, but by making the right choices for the future, we can progress along the spiritual path. And I'm
Did
going
you
to
want to read
read,
something?
yeah.
Okay, we'll close with the reading.
And this is from Robert Crosby. And he has this wonderful article that's called The Real Christmas. But he says, there is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune, it is said. The opportunities of each life come from the past, and aspirations are recurrent ideas of the past. Whenever there is a spiritual idea in the heart or in the mind, then is the beginning of the rising tide for that individual. Then is the time for him to take advantage of the cycle, to make every possible effort in the direction of his purpose. For the time is ripe, and the time will pass again just as surely as the sun moves northward and then south again. And in that time of rising tide, we must have acquired the stamina, the power of concentrated effort, which will hold us through the receding tide and give us a better standing place when the tide again rises. The real Christmas can come to us in our hearts. We can realize that there has come once more the season we can rise with.
And the cycle of this meeting has now
Ended.
come to a close at 12. And we thank you all and wish you a happy solstice and a Merry Christmas as well. Take care, all. Bye-bye.